really wherever we go. I love how the missionary, just last week, Brother Walter Stevens, he believes in a gospel that saves a man, in a gospel that keeps a man, in a gospel that changes a man. That third part, really, every time I got to hear him say it a few times. I was at all the meetings last week, thank God. I love that, a gospel that changes, because that's what it is. It's not a gospel meant to keep me stagnant or just neutral or just floating around. The scriptures are extremely powerful. We have a roadmap. Does anybody know the acronym Bible, what it stands for? I know somebody knows. Basic instructions before leaving Earth. I guess if you didn't know that. There you go. That's all I got. But it's so true. It's so true. We're not left to our own devices. We're not here to shoot in the dark and just be like, wing it. Go off the cuff. We don't have to listen to other voices. We don't have to listen to the advertisements, the pulls of the world. We have so much that's clear, plain, and straight, as Pastor Mix would say. And we have a roadmap. We have a guide. We're not alone. We're not in a dark room trying to feel our way around. Quite the contrary, we were taken from darkness to light. So now you can start to see things as things open up. And so that gospel that changes, tonight I want to talk in the way of choices, changed choices. I want to help us tonight. I want to help me. I want to help you. Help all of us to see what Scripture says, to just get a little closer to the Lord, hopefully, prayerfully, tonight. Let's pray and invite the Lord to be with us and ask His blessing on the service, and we'll launch from there. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you, and we just thank you for another day, of life. We thank you for your gospel, your truth, your dependability, your faithfulness. We come here week in and week out, and you want to help us. You want to help us. You're there. You're available for us. You're standing by, and it's oftentimes that we kind of do our own thing or kind of get off course, and we slip and slide through life, but you're gracious. You're kind, and we thank you, and we praise you for that. Thank you for this opportunity to handle your word once again. I pray you use me tonight. Holy Spirit, fill me afresh, please, to do your will, to do your work. I pray you settle hearts, you settle minds tonight. I know we're here at the start of yet another week, but I pray you calm us, you settle us, you comfort us tonight, that we would listen, Lord, to everything you have to say for us. And that you would bring to mind areas that we can make choices in, not just any type of choice, but certain types of choices, the best choice. I pray for everyone gathered here tonight, the kids downstairs. I pray you help them. That's the next generation. I pray for their hearts, their minds, the lives they will eventually grow up and live out. Help them now so they're not struggling later. Pray help us tonight in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you're taking notes or if you're a bookmark type of person, we're going to be in Numbers chapter 10, verse 30. Four places tonight. Numbers chapter 10, verse 30. That's where we're going to start. Then we're going to be in Genesis 24, 58. And then we're going to be in Joshua 24, 15. And the last portion of scripture we'll look at is Luke 10, verse 42. Title of the message tonight is Choices, and we're going to take it from Numbers all the way through Luke. We're going to look at a bad choice, a good choice, a better choice, and the best choice. I just want to make it clear from the start, you can go at this from self-discipline. You can go at this from turning over a new leaf, behavior modification, psychology, all these different flavors. And you could attempt this, and you could probably be successful. But it'll all be in vain if it's done trusting yourself or trusting someone else. That's why we're here tonight. We're trusting in the Lord. We've come to that point in our lives where we realize where we're in sin, we're going the wrong way, we're on our way to hell. We've offended a holy God. And only by his grace, only by his grace, he met us where we were. He saved our souls, and he gave us everlasting life. He took us from death to life, from darkness to light. That and under his authority, under his leading, only by faith in him does this have any true meaning. Can this actually work to make choices by the will of God, not by my own will, not by somebody else's ideas or theories? He wants to help us in this area, as he wants to help us in many areas. I just want to make that clear. This sounds good on its own, but it's meaningless unless it's framed and couched and put under that kingship, that lordship of Christ. Only by faith in Christ will this truly work, so to speak. Numbers chapter 10, verse 30, that's where we're going to start. Just before that, each of us, we make some 35,000 choices daily. 35,000. I take surveys and different lists with a grain of salt, top 10 places to live, where to retire, et cetera, et cetera. Eat this food today, and then 2 years from now, oh no, eat this food to live forever. All these different things. But there's 35,000 choices. I mean, this is everything from just moving my eyes, I'm going to move my arm, what I'm going to eat, where I'm going to go, planning different things, going forward, going backward, all these little choices we make. Some 35,000 of them. If you're up for 16 hours a day, that's over 2,000, just a little over 2,000 every hour. Choices that you and I are making as we're living our lives. There's always a choice. And really, the quality of your choices then now determines the quality of outcome, the quality of life. If you're making bad choices, poor choices, that's what you're going to get. The sum total of our choices determines the type of life we will have. In all these choices, God makes available, God exposes us, he makes available the best choice possible, Christ. So we can do everything as he says, and we don't have to guess. Numbers 10:30, choices. We're going to look here. This is Moses. Nation of Israel's out in the wilderness. Moses' father-in-law comes out. He visits with them. He gives Moses some counseling. He helps them out a little bit as they're out there. That's quick background. And Moses invites them, hey, you came out here. You visited us. Keep coming with us, and the Lord's going to bless, and the Lord's going to guide. The Lord has opportunity for you. We don't get a whole ton of info or background on his father-in-law, but that's what's presented to him. Hey, keep coming with us, and the Lord's going to bless. If you back up to verse 29, Numbers 10, verse 29, and Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And look how he responds. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. He makes it personal, and he puts his will before anything else. Notice it, I will not go. God will use people to invite you in the right direction. You see that in verse 29. God will send you that right direction. You see in verse 29, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. So you have God's promises in place. You have God has a destination for the nation. And he's inviting him to come along. The Lord said, I will give it to you. Come thou with us and we will do thee good. So not only is God gonna do them good, but Moses as well. And you see in verse 30, he said, I will not go. So he sees a right direction. He sees a right way to go. And you see God's heart here, God's desire for his people. He desires good for you and I. The scripture, it is for mankind. It's not just neutral and in vain. He desires good for you, but the choice is on us. The choice is on us. God doesn't force his hand with us. God desires good for you, but the choice is on us. He is afraid of personal responsibility. God makes something available. He opens up for us, and we decide whether we'll go or not. I will. You say, I will not go. So you see that bad choice, a bad choice there with Moses' father-in-law. Now let's move to a good choice. We'll go back a little. Left-hand turn to Genesis. Genesis 24, verse 58. Going from a bad choice to a good choice. And oftentimes that's what it is. The choice is on you. What are you going to do with what's fallen on your lap? What are you going to do when you're at a crossroads? Especially the more able-minded, able-bodied you are. So a bad choice, now moving to a good choice. This is coming off of the Abrahamic covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is Isaac here. Abraham sent his eldest servant to find him a wife, gave him clear instruction. Talk about having a roadmap and basic instruction before leaving Earth in the earlier part of this chapter. Clear direction, crystal clear. This is where you're going to go. This is what it's going to look like. This is where she'll be. And so his servant runs right up into Rebekah, and now she's presented with a choice. She has an opportunity in front of her as part of the lineage of Christ. Big deal. So she goes on, and she goes on to make a good choice. Let's back up to verse 56. Get a little bit more context. Genesis 24, verse 56. His servant, Abraham's servant, is in Rebekah's home with parents and everything. He's there in her home. He's rehearsing what Abraham had said, and he's there to get her. And what does he tell them? He said unto them, verse 56, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." He said, hey, everything's according to the will of God. Everything's lining up. Everything's here. Don't hold me back so I could get back and be fully obedient to Abraham, ultimately to God. They respond, verse 57, and they said, "We will call the damsel," referring to Rebekah, "and inquire at her mouth." So here's a decision on her. Verse 58, and they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And what does she say? "I will go." Totally different heart, totally different decision. I will go. Here's the opportunity. The Lord's leading me. I've been faithful. This is Abraham's kindred, Abraham's family. They were aware of the covenant. They were aware that God was moving. And here, Rebekah has a shot here to do the will of God. So I will go. She realized the opportunity before her, God making the way possible. And that's what life will do. Life, as a Christian, as being born again, life will put us in places where God wants to fulfill his will in our lives. And that's where that response comes. The decision is on us. I'm as close or as far away from God as I want to be. You can hear God's voice. You can walk with God. He can pinpoint you down, right, left. Don't do that. Go here. Do this. Think about this a little bit longer. You see, moving from a bad choice to a good choice. And a good choice can have benefits. That's not why you make these choices, for benefits. But look in verse 59. "I will go," consequence. "And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men." So she went back. She had protection. She had her own nurse. And so she didn't leave empty-handed. She got brought back under protection, under the will of God, under the umbrella of God. Her willingness to go, her availability, her obedience now resulted in just her life moving along, getting closer to God, getting a husband, having a new life. This one decision, all the consequences that came with it. And then look what the family does in verse 60. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." And that's a whole lot in there, but she went on to be the mother of many. And it was through this lineage, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, that Christ will be born. And you can see that. That's a whole other trajectory. But a bad choice, then a good choice here with Rebekah. And now we can move on to a better choice. Let's look at Joshua. Right-hand turn past the Deuteronomy into Joshua 24:15. Pastor makes jokes around a lot about having verses on pillows. This is one of them. Joshua 24:15. But it has other stuff than that last part that's often popular. Joshua 24:15, a better choice. And this is really interesting what Joshua lays out here. Joshua 24:15, a better choice. And this is Joshua, many wars. He's led a whole nation of people. He's a leader here in history. He's had his ups, his downs. He's dealt with so much at this point. He worked under Moses for so long. He's seen a lot. He's been around the block a few times, type of person. And here he is toward the end of his life. And he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So you see the dynamic now. It's not just a single person trying to make great choices and maybe even falling in the mindset that my choices don't affect anybody, but they do. And that impact on others. So it's a whole different mindset now. We will serve the Lord. So it's not just him. It's plural here. He's looking at his whole house. He's looking at his people around him. He's loving his neighbor. We will serve the Lord. Right in the beginning there, it's really interesting. If it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. So if you don't want to serve the Lord, if you want to try this, try other things on your own, and just go at it in your own style, in your own passion, your own discipline, go for it. If that's how you want to categorize it for yourself, if you want to reject God and it will build off that rejection, go ahead. Have some heart, have some courage. Make that decision, make that choice, and don't play games. If you want that, go that way. Do that. Dedicate. Commit to that. Don't be wishy-washy. It's either a yay or a nay. Don't be a hip. All these things you can say, commit to that, and reject the Lord, and go on and see what that result will be. It's fascinating. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were on the other side of the flood. And so there's nothing new under the sun. The same games and gimmicks and false gods that they've been worshiping since day one, coming out of the garden. Through the flood, they just picked up where they left off, people in general, and just kept serving and being mindless and wasting time. And people got the result of that and still do. It's interesting that we're on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, a pagan people, in whose land ye dwell. That's where they were, and that's where the wars came in. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Not just personal here, but we will serve the Lord. So you see a bad choice. You see a good choice. You see a better choice here with Joshua. I just don't want a choice that's going to benefit me, but I want to start making choices that will benefit many. And this takes time. This isn't next week, I'm going to have it all figured out, and I'm just going to go 10 for 10 and have this perfect record. This is a desire and a heart that only God will help you develop. You can try self-discipline and pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. But the most successful, fruitful, profitable way is only with the Lord, walking hand in hand with him. A bad choice, a good choice, a better choice. Let's look now at the best choice. Luke 10:40. We'll start at 10:40. In your Gospels, right-hand turn through the Old Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke from the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, chapter 10, verse 40. Looking here at the best choice. This is two sisters here. Believers, they're serving the Lord, following the Lord. He's here on earth in his ministry. But one, to say the least, has priorities out of whack, and the one has priorities where they should be. As Brother Ben, he preached on the priority this morning. Verse 40, two sisters, Martha and Mary. Christ is coming to visit them. He's visiting them. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, Christ, and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." And so you see, Martha, she's cumbered about, she's burdened, she's strapped, she's being weighed down. She's doing so many things and good things, it would seem, but she's forgotten the main thing. She's forgotten Christ. She's busy in the serving, busy in doing this, that, and the third, all in the name of the Lord. But you see, her sister in verse 39 was at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She had her priorities right. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. And you see in verse 41, thou art careful. That word means anxious. Anxious and troubled about many things. Right? You're spread thin. When you're so spread out, you can't focus on one thing. And so you're losing sight of what's important. Being busy should not keep you away from the Lord. Anxiety and trouble about many things is also hurtful. Right? Too much anxiety, too much trouble, worrying about this, worrying about that, losing sight of the main thing, losing sight of Christ, troubled about many, many things. We need the Lord, and when we choose him, there is nothing that will be taken away. I love that in verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part. And I'm sure she served, and she had a good heart, and she was available, and she worked hard. I'm sure she did. But she's made a priority, and she chose that good part. She made that best choice. And because of that, what do you see? It's not going to be taken away from her. She's eternally secure. She's locked in. She's choosing Christ, and Christ is going to help her, and he sees that heart. He sees that heart. He sees that motive. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I love that she's safe. She's comforted. She's protected there because she's chosen that one thing, that good part. She's made that choice. And that's what it's about tonight, choices. Choices. The quality of choices. What kind of choices are we making as we head out into another week? God wants to help us. She had chosen that good part. I love that. Just closing out, by way of application, do not settle for any old choice. It's so easy to just settle. Status quo. When you ask somebody, "Hey, how you doing?" "Oh, same old, same old." It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be. We should be after better choices, good choices, best choices. Asking the Lord to lead us. "Lord, what is the best choice? Help me out here. Point me in the wrong direction." Don't settle. That's the default option. It's so easy to do that, to just settle down and just keep doing the same old thing and keep getting the same old result. Many times, the bad choice is the easiest one. It might not be bad as in hurtful or illegal or anything like that, but it sure could be a poor choice. And that's sometimes the easiest. I don't have to bother anyone. I don't have to feel awkward. I don't have to face any confrontation. I could just kind of go under the radar. That's easy. Yeah. Oftentimes with that, that's the cowardly way. Right? That's you're not facing consequences of something, depending what the choice is. And so we live by faith and not by sight. And we can build on that faith. It doesn't have to stay stagnant. It doesn't have to stay neutral. It doesn't have to get stale. What did the disciples ask Christ? Increase our faith. Help our unbelief. We're on a road. We have a destination of heaven. We're going somewhere. We can continue to build and build and build, not in our own strength, but by the grace of God, His strength, in our Bibles, in prayer, asking the Lord to help us along. What kind of choices do I make? How do I look at these things? How do I break this down? I just want to help us tonight. That's all. As we head into another week in this D.C. area, and it seems like things are getting busier and more crowded. What kind of choices are we making as we live our lives, as we work our jobs, as we take care of kids, and we face all the different responsibilities we have? Choices. Let's all stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll just use the next couple moments. You want to come up to the altar. You want to pray where you are. Pray with a friend. Pray with your family. Just if anything came to mind, the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, is there something I should be praying on, something I should be focusing on, a priority, even from this morning's message, a priority I should be focusing on or making a priority? And just take a few minutes and let's pray to the Lord and ask Him to help us. Help us as we go into another week, another day that He's given us. As Mrs. Mix, please.
I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you.
Lord, we sure do thank you for another night. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And I pray you'd help each and every one of us as we set out from here, families, couples, singles, or that we would just make application from the scripture. Lord, we don't have to walk around defeated or questioning. You want us to be confident. You want us to have faith in Christ, as we go day to day, making different choices. Praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.